order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written the work In the Light of Truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion, and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed-for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to honest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, "Miracles. The explanation for this lies in the word itself. A miracle is a happening that engenders wonder in men. It is something they do not believe to be possible, but they only for that it is possible is proved by the fact that it does happen. Miracles, such as many of the believers in God imagine them to be, do not exist. They consider a miracle as something that happens outside the laws of nature, even something contrary to those laws. And it is just on this account that they see the hand of God in it. A miracle is something possible only to their God, who thereby shows his especial grace and uses his omnipotence to accomplish it. Such poor creatures erroneously imagine that omnipotence implies the capability to act arbitrarily, and that miracles are such arbitrary acts. But they do not consider how they thereby belittle God, for such miracles would be anything but divine. In the first place, divine activity shows an absolute perfection, without fault or gap. And perfection demands the strictest logic and absolute consistency in every respect. Consequently, a miracle can work itself out only with flawless consistency in the course of events. Though it happens in the usual way, the difference is only that with a miracle, the process of development, which according to earthly conceptions should take a longer time, occurs with such immense rapidity, either through the special power granted to some individual or through some other channel, that it appears miraculous by reason of its extraordinary speed. In short, it may be called a miracle. Occasionally, it may be something reaching beyond the present state of development, that finds its fulfillment through concentrated power. But it will never in any circumstances occur outside or even contrary to the existing laws of nature. In such a case, which is an impossibility anyway, it will lose all that which is divine and become an arbitrary act. Thus, it is exactly the opposite of what so many believers in God imagine it to be. Everything that is lacking in strict consistency is not divine. Every miracle is an absolutely natural happening, occurring only with exceptional speed and concentrated power. It is completely out of the question that anything unnatural can ever happen in this connection. When is it healed, which until now were regarded as incurable? This does not mean that the natural laws have been changed, but merely exposes the great deficiencies in human knowledge. All the more should it be recognized as a mercy of the Creator when here and there He endows individual human beings with special powers which they can use for the benefit of suffering humanity. But it will always be those who have kept themselves far away from every conceit of science, because outbound knowledge quite naturally suffocates the ability to receive higher gifts. Worldly scholarship exerts itself to achieve something, but can never receive in a pure, childlike way. The powers coming from beyond time and space may, however, be received only in simplicity, but can never be acquired by exertion. This circumstance alone shows which is the more valuable, the stronger, and therefore the more correct. Further reading from the Grail Message. Baptism. If a child is baptized by a clergyman who regards it as merely a duty of his office, it is absolutely meaningless, doing neither good nor harm. On the other hand, when an adult person is baptized, the strength and purity of his inner preparedness to receive will contribute to the possibility as to whether he really will receive something spiritual or not. In the case of a child, only the belief of the one who administers the baptism can serve as a means of achieving the purpose. According to the strength and purity of this belief, the child receives a certain spiritual strengthening through this act, as well as a protection against evil radiations. Baptism, which not every human being ordained by earthly church dignitaries can perform effectually. For this purpose, a human being is needed who is connected with the light. Only such a person is able to transmit light. This ability, however, is not attainable through earthly studies, nor through church consecration or ordination. It has nothing whatever to do with mundane customs, but is purely a gift of the Almighty Himself. One so endowed thereby becomes a called one. There are not many such, for this gift demands the condition that there be suitable soil within the person himself. If this condition does not exist, the connection from the light cannot be established. The light cannot penetrate into soil which has not been loosened, or into soil hostile to it, because, like everything else, This process is also strictly subject to the all-pervading primordial laws. Such a called one, however, can really transmit spirit and power through the act of baptism, which thereby receives that value which it expresses symbolically. In spite of this, it is always preferable to baptize only persons who are fully conscious of the effect of this act and who feel the ardent desire for it. Therefore, if it is to become of real value, baptism requires a certain age of maturity and the voluntary wish of the person to be baptized, as well as a called one to do the baptizing. John the Baptist, who today is still regarded as a truly called one, called man by all the Christian churches, found his greatest adversaries just among the scribes and Pharisees, who at that time imagined themselves to be the most highly called to judge over this matter. The people of Israel at that time were themselves called. There is no doubt about that. In their midst, the Son of God was to accomplish his mission on earth. Accordingly, the priests of that nation should also, at that time, have been the most highly called ones to baptize. But in spite of this, John the Baptist had to come, so that, as the only called one, he could baptize the Son of God in his earthly vessel at the beginning of his actual mission on earth. This happening also shows that earthly appointments to office have nothing to do with divine callings. And again, only called ones can effectively fulfill commissions in the name of God, thus be commissioned by him, as it should be in the case of baptism. The called one, John the Baptist, who was not acknowledged by the existing high priest of the called people, described his adversaries as a generation of vipers. He denied them the right to come to him. Now, did these same high priests of the then called people even recognize the Son of God himself? They persecuted him ceaselessly and worked for his earthly destruction because he was superior to them and their source of trouble. If Christ were again to come among men at the present time in a new form, he would undoubtedly meet with the same denial and animosity as he then experienced. A similar fate would befall one sent by him, all the more so because mankind today imagine themselves to be more advanced. Not only in this one case of John the Baptist, but in many similar cases, it is clearly shown that consecrations by the earthly churches and ordinations, which as such are actually a part of church organization only, can never bring a greater ability to carry out spiritual acts if the officiating person has not already been called for it. Considered in the correct way, therefore, baptism administered by church dignitaries is nothing more than a preliminary act of admission into the organization of a religious union. It is not admission to God, but admission into the respective earthly church community. The confirmation which follows later, including confirmation by a bishop, can be regarded only as a repeated acknowledgement and a further admission to the customs of these communities. The minister acts as the accredited servant of the church, thus in a purely earthly sense, because the church and God are not one and the same thing. End of quote. Listening to a reading from the Grail message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a walk in the light of truth, the Grail message. Copies of the Grail message can be obtained on Grail Land, Eju Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to a public lecture based on the Grail message. Date: Sunday, 29th November 2015. Venue: Lagos State Public Works Corporation, Gbaga, in Gbaga area of Lagos. Then the topic is the significance of the birth of Jesus Christ. Time of lecture: 4 p.m. At the lecture, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now we enter the interactive segment of this program. Genuine seekers who may wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. For your text messages, 0803-315-7493. Text messages, 0803-315-7493. All right, we have some text messages here already. Somebody asked, what is deliverance? Can it cleanse all our sins and evil spirit? Now, there is a great confusion about this issue of deliverance. Many priests will say, come for deliverance. But let it be known that no one person can deliver another person. Deliverance lies in the hands of each individual human being. And the only way he can deliver himself is to recognize the laws of the Almighty Creator and to live his life accordingly. That alone is what can give him the deliverance from his self-enchainment, from the self-created entanglement which he had made by disobeying the laws of the Almighty. So no person, no priest can deliver you. If they tell you to come for deliverance, they are only deceiving you, because the priest himself, he himself must deliver himself by obeying the laws of the Almighty Creator. All right, Mr. Dennis is calling from Alagbado. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you are on.
Hello.
Yes, go on.
Hello.
Yes, Dennis, you are on.
Hello.
Yes, you are on.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, you are home. We are hearing you. Come on, talk. Sorry. Where is that? All right. Let's take another text message here. Somebody asked, is the trumpet that will sound in the end time a spiritual phenomenon? And is the spirit of truth that is coming to establish the millennium coming as a human being? Now, talking about the trumpet that we sound, which we have been told in the Revelation, is a spiritual phenomenon. And it has already happened long time ago. Now, the material or earthly manifestations which usually occur later is what we are experiencing now, because in accordance with the law, the spiritual events, because of the lightness, appears first and faster. The material manifestation, because of the thinness of the material, appears much, much later and is dense. So the trumpet call by the angels has already taken place spiritually. The material manifestations is what we are experiencing in our lives today. And if you open your inner eyes and ears, you already see in the environment that we're already standing in that time. That so-called end time. Okay, another text message here. Who is the woman mentioned in the Revelation, clothed with the moon and the stars? No, clothed with the sun and wearing a crown of stars and standing on the moon. And what is the effect of celibacy on priests? The woman mentioned in the Revelation that is clothed with the sun, wearing the crown of stars, and standing on the moon, is actually Queen Elizabeth, the primordial queen of womanhood, who resides in the divine kingdom, and has never taken on a physical cloak. All right, we continue that after taking this call from John Solomon in Shogunle. Hello, John. Good evening. All right, Jesus Christ did not walk on water. That was one of the wrong transmissions. He did not walk on water. So back to the question about the woman that is mentioned in the Revelation with the crown of stars and standing on the half crescent moon. Her name is Queen Elizabeth, the primordial queen of womanhood. In actual fact, Prophet Muhammad was permitted to see the vision of Queen Elizabeth. And it was because of this vision, when she saw this high figure with a crown of stars on her head and the half crescent moon, where she's walking on half crescent moon, it was actually because of this that Muhammad now made a symbol with the half crescent moon as one of the symbols of Islam and a crown of stars on her head. It was because of that vision that Muhammad was shown that he now made as a symbol of Islam the half crescent moon and the crown of stars. All right. Back to the question about the other part of that question, and what is the effect of celibacy on priests? Now, celibacy is an aberration. When a priest decides that he does not want to have anything to do with woman because he believes that by abstaining from sexual intercourse, he will make himself chaste. Such a priest deceives himself because he is only trying to fight against that which is natural. It is also the reason why there is so much sexual aberrations amongst them. Because when somebody pursues this course, there will always be a continual fight against this natural instinct, and this consumes the spiritual power in him. And as a result, he will not be able to unfold his true potential because he's going against that which is natural. To be chaste has a different meaning, which has to do with the quality of the soul. So what does it profit a man to soil his soul and keep his body in chaste? It does not profit him. All right, Barrister Dan is calling from Igodo.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening.
Hello, sir.
Go on, we are hearing you. Go on.
Okay, sir. The question I want to ask is this. I want you to throw more light on this Judas Iscariot story in the Bible. I want to ask, before Judas betrayed Jesus, was there any barrier stopping the Pharisee, I mean the Jewish people, from arresting Jesus and crucifying him? Because we are told that Judas collected the money and told them that whoever is going to kiss is the Jesus, you know, that they will take away for crucifixion. So I begin to wonder, Jesus was a celebrity. He was not hidden. He was known everywhere. So how come go through Judas for him to be, you know, betrayed and taken away and crucified?
All right, you know, at that time, when Jesus Christ started his mission, his preaching of the truth was so powerful, the people considered him as a truly prophet, a true prophet of the Almighty Creator. And the priests were afraid that should they lay their hands on him, the people would revolt. That was why they could not. But once one amongst his own inner circle came forward to testify against him, then it made their job easy to actually arrest and also prosecute Jesus. So yes, Jesus was known, but the priest feared the reaction of the people. That was why they did not at that time, until it was time for them to do what they wanted to do. Okay. Another text message is here. Is it because the rich are righteous that they are rich and the poor are evil that made them poor? Not necessarily so. The issue of those who are rich and those who are poor is only a question of the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. If somebody is indolent in the earthly, then he has already created for himself the possibility of becoming poor. All right, we'll talk about that later. After taking this call, Isidore is calling from Afa. Hello? Hello, Isidore? You are on? Hello? Hello, are you there? All right, you should try and call. The telephone number to call again. Let's call it 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. All right, let's take this call again. All right, Isidore is back. Hello, are you there? Yes, go on. Yes, go on with your question.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, on. We are listening to you.
Hello?
All right. Try and send your text or call again. Another question. What is the purpose of baptism? Now, baptism is meant to assist the recipient in following the path that leads to salvation. It is to assist the person to receive spirit and power so as to enable him to follow the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it requires someone who is connected to the light to be able to transmit spirit and power to the recipient. And not everyone consecrated by the church can do it. All right, Etebet is calling from Abuja. Hello, Etebet.
Hello, sir.
Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah, you are on.
Yeah,
good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, you are go on.
I want to ask, because Bible makes us know that if a man is not baptized, the person will not make heaven. I want you to throw more light on that.
Alright, we are just talking about baptism. Baptism, if it were done the way it's supposed to be done, it is actually admission unto God. But as it is, not everyone ordained by the church can actually perform the act of baptism. Baptism requires someone who is called by the Almighty Creator Himself, because it's only such a person who is connected with the light and who can thereby also transmit spirit and power to the one in the need of it. And it is only as a means to energize the person to follow the path of the truth as indicated in the word of truth, word of salvation Jesus Christ brought. Unfortunately, today, the baptism is nothing more than admission into the respective church community. It is not admission unto God, because the church and the God are not one and the same. Somebody asked, is it right to marry at age 44? Yes, you can marry at whatever age you want. Important thing is that let it be true and genuine love between you and the woman. All right, Victor is calling from Abuja. Hello, Victor. Hello, Victor.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah, my question is, there was a time Jesus Christ was addressing some people, and he told them that there are some of you standing here who will not taste death until the kingdom has come. Now my question is, does that mean the kingdom has come? Because those people Jesus Christ was addressing them are no longer alive. Now has the kingdom come? Because today when we sit there, we sit there and say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, you know. What do you have to say, Pastor?
All right. Actually, what Jesus Christ said was this. After telling about the signs of the end time, because they were asking him, when will these things come to pass? Now he now said, all these things, all this generation shall not pass before all these things come to pass. Now he was telling them that this same generation that is listening to him, they will not pass before all these things come to pass. And the meaning of that is that that same generation that listen to the word of Jesus, they are the same generation incarnated today. The same generation incarnated today at this present time, so that each one will now make his final decision through the new word that has been given to mankind, to accept it or to reject it. And that will also be his own fate. That is the meaning of the statement made by Jesus. And that generation then, in that everyone that is on earth today, the same generation that was there at that time when Jesus Christ was on earth. Kelechukwu is calling from Enugu. Hello, Kelechukwu. Hello, Kelechukwu. Hello.
Hello, doctor.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, doctor.
Good evening.
My name is Kelechukwu, calling from Okonano, Enugu State.
All right.
The paragraph you read about great message, you said that God, the church, God is not the head of the church, right? That was the last statement you made.
No, I said, the church, listen, I said the church and God are not one and the same. That's what I said.
All right, yes, yes. Uh-huh. Thank you for the correction. And whereas the Bible says that let wife be submissive to the husband as Christ is the head of the church. So please, I would like you to like throw more light on this issue, on this point.
You see, there is a lot of confusion about the true teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came simply to tell mankind the truth. All his life, he came for one thing. He brought the word of salvation, the word of truth. And it is only those who understand this word and live accordingly that can now enter into the kingdom. It is not about church, but it is about the knowledge of the truth. Yes, it would have been good if the church were actually following the teachings of Jesus. But the church is not. In fact, there is nothing on the entire face of this earth that has dared to oppose the word of Jesus more than the church has ever done from the very beginning of the church. The church has directed its blow at every single word Jesus Christ said and his mission, because the church teaches wrongly about the true mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, the new message has come. It is addressed only to those who are genuinely seeking. If you are a genuine seeker, pick up a copy of the great message and examine it. Now, another question here. You said Jesus is not coming again. Is it true? Yes, Jesus said that he will not come again. He has told us that howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sins and of righteousness and bring the judgment. However, go to the Father, and you shall henceforth not see me. I come from the Father and come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So Jesus Christ already directly told us that he is not coming back. However, it is now up to the individual to come to that recognition and also live his life accordingly. All right, we have another caller here. Precious is calling from Ikotun. Hello, Precious.
Hello?
Yes, go on.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm sorry to ask you. You said Jesus Christ is not walking on the sea.
just want to put more light onto that.
Okay, lower the volume of your radio, sir, please. Hello?
Number.
All right, go on.
Hello, sir.
Yes, go on, please.
Yeah, I thought you said something, you know, the number on the C. I want to put more enlightenment to that.
All right, walk on C. Jesus Christ did not walk on. If it were possible for Jesus Christ to walk on sea, then it would have also been possible for the children of Israel to walk on the Red Sea when they were being pursued by Pharaoh. But they did not. The Lord had to, in his mercy, had to part the Red Sea for them to walk through the Red Sea. You see, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, cannot do but obey the laws of his Father. And he himself said, I have come to fulfill the laws to overthrow them. And according to the law of nature, a physical body with its weight cannot walk on water. Miracles are not arbitrary acts. They are acts that occur strictly in accordance with the laws of the Almighty. The only difference is that because of special power given to certain individuals or certain conditions, they occur at extraordinary speed. But it is the same process. If you are to take a slow motion picture of a miracle, you will still see the stage by stage development of the event. So miracles are not extraordinary, they are not arbitrary acts. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ performed miracles. He healed the sick. He made the lame to walk. He raised the dead. Yes. Unfortunately, because these things never happened to people, never experienced it. As a result of the fact that many who are not even there, they were already adding and subtracting to what Jesus Christ did. Unfortunately, some of those additions have sort of found their way in the records, which occurred some decades, 4 decades after the death of Jesus Christ. You can even look at it today. An event occurs today. In a week's time, many people will not be able to record exactly what happened. And if I were to write a report of it, which we lay down for posterity, there will be additions and subtractions. So this is what happened that time too. The distortion of the brain, even at that time, had proceeded so far because the overdevelopment of the frontal brain, which is the seat of the intellect, has also advanced to the extent that there is also a underdevelopment of the spiritually receiving back brain, such that things were not clear at the time they were written down. Even the time when Jesus Christ was with the disciples, many times they would come to him to ask him, Master, what do you mean by this? Many of the things they did not even understand. So how much more when he left the flesh, so they could only remember what they could remember, and some of the things they did not understand it very well. That is why some have found their way into the records. But today, the records are set straight. In a great message, you find every single word uttered by our Lord Jesus Christ and the true meaning of those words. You will find it recorded in a great message. However, this great message is addressed only to those who are genuinely seeking. All right. Eze is calling from Abuja. Hello, Eze.
Hey,
good evening.
Please, to ask, because when Christ and the disciples were taking the last supper,
yeah,
as you do this, as you eat and drink. Remember the Lord, his death, if he comes. And you say that he's not coming back. So I don't know, this thing is conflicting. It's a clear contradiction.
He has already told us he's not coming back. He told us he's not coming back. You see, in fact, there are two statements he made, which is also confusing to some people, but which only through the knowledge you come to us. He said to his disciple, "A little while you shall see me, and a little while, you shall not see me, and a little while you shall see me." That particular statement refers to the fact that a little while they will not see him, that means he will soon be crucified. Then a little while you will see me means he will appear to them. And he did appear to his disciples after his crucifixion. But prior to that one, he was telling them that he is going back to the Father, and you will henceforth not see me. So the Last Supper, which he gave the disciples, was a farewell supper. It is meant to be to remind mankind of the necessity for the coming of Jesus Christ to bring the explanations about the workings of creation through the word of truth he brought. The urgent necessity of this, that was what brought about his coming in the first place, because mankind were sinning in ignorance and they did not know the truth. He brought the word of truth to show mankind the way. And when he said, "This is my body, take it, and this is my blood, drink all of it for the remission of sins." Again, unfortunately, this particular statement has been misinterpreted by the church, that when people take the Holy Communion, they are taking directly the body of Jesus and the wine and the blood of Jesus. As if to say, after the consecration of the consecrated host, then the physical body and the blood of Jesus is already in it. That is not true. Indeed, when people have such a belief, and then they bow down before the monstrance, what they are doing is no different from what the idolaters are doing. When some people kneel before a carven image, or some prostrate before the sun, and others bow before the monstrance, they are doing the same thing, disobeying that holiest of all commandments. When the Lord said, "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no else but me." Because in the prostration before the monstrance, if they see that physical object as a divine that can confer them divine grace, that is the idolatry there by excellence. This is against the first commandment. Adoration should be given to the living God alone, not to a material object. Kelechukwu is calling from Enugu. Hello, Kelechukwu. Hello, Kelechukwu, are you there?
Yeah, Dr. Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, good evening.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Please go on.
All right. My name is Kelechukwu, calling from Wakumana, Enugu State.
Okay.
I have one question for you, Doctor.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Go on, please.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go on.
All right. I want to ask you, now, this area we are now is like the cycle is closing and darkness is governing and conquering. How can one shine beyond the darkness?
There is only one way.
What principle or what lifestyle can one live? Hello?
The only lifestyle you have to live is, first of all, to recognize... All right, listen. Listen. The only lifestyle you have to live is, first of all, to recognize the laws of the Almighty Creator and to adjust your life accordingly. There is no other. Know the laws and live according to the laws. That is the only way one can overcome the darkness. There is no other way. Okay, there's another text messenger. Who is the Holy Spirit? Now, the Holy Spirit is the will of the Almighty. The Holy Spirit is the Son of Man, also called Emmanuel. The Holy Spirit is personal, just as our Lord Jesus Christ is personal. And so, that is how you have the Holy Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. While the Son, Jesus, is the inborn Son, the King in the divine kingdom. And remember, this divine kingdom is not part of creation. The Son of Man, Emmanuel, the Holy Spirit, is the outborn Son of God. And Son of Man simply means that Son of God through whom man came into existence. And that is, it is only through the radiation of the Holy Spirit that creation came into existence. So the Holy Spirit also is personal. So when Jesus Christ promised to send the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, that is the Holy Spirit, he also come personal and bring knowledge and also bring judgment. Okay, another question here. I still see my mother who died 10 years ago in my dreams eating together with me. What can I do? Well, you can still see it departed, and then sometimes it is because the when somebody dies and is still hanging around for a long time, it can be because of certain weaknesses that is still holding her down, or that she's just struggling after the material. Because naturally, when a man passes on, he should continue his journey upwards. Continue his journey upwards.
Hello there.
Vincent is calling from Ojo. Hello, Vincent.
Hello there.
Yeah, go on. You are on, Vincent. What is the question, please? Repeat.
I said, what is the main destination person who died? Is it heaven or hell?
Yes.
Or is there anything called hell at all?
Yes, the destination lies with him. Which where he wants to go is in his own hand. Whether he wants to go to heaven or he wants to go to hell. Yes, there is hell. But hell is not a divine institution. Now, as we are living our life in our daily activity, in our thoughts, words, and deeds, we are already preparing for ourselves that region we will live when we leave the flesh. Whether it will be a light regions, if we are doing what is good, or it will be dark regions or hell, if we are doing what is bad. So each is already preparing for himself where he's going to go. So it's not at the time when you are passing away that you now go. Even from the day you are born, you are already preparing for yourself. That place eventually you must be when you leave the flesh. So, but it is only when a man is striving after that which is good, that which is noble and pure, and is striving to give joy and happiness to his fellow human beings, such a person, when he leaves the flesh, he will naturally be light in spirit and will find himself amongst his own kind in the lighter regions of the ethereal world. But if it's somebody who loves to give bad to his people, to his fellow human beings, to do bad against them, his spirit will be dense and heavy. When he leaves the flesh, it will naturally sink into that plane that corresponds to his spiritual weight in the dark plains of the beyond, the so-called. And there, he also experienced those who are also living there, and they will give him hell. He will give them hell. That is why we have to strive at this very present time to understand our Creator and strive to live according to His will. Okay, now we are coming to the end of today's transmission. Let's remind our listeners, public lectures coming up in the month of November, date Sunday 29th of November 2015, venue Lagos State Public Works Corporation, Baga. Then the topic is the significance of birth of Jesus Christ. Time of lecture 4 p.m. At the lecture, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. For those who may still wish to interact, our website is www.truthofliferadio.com. Email info@truthofliferadio.com. Telephone numbers 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrushin, author of The Great Message. That's it tonight. Until we meet next Sunday, I'm Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you a good evening.